And now on Radio 4, get ready for Concrete Cow.
Right, it's my break now, so I'll see you later. Can you hear anything?
No.
Well, is a tape going round?
Yeah.
So where's the sound, then?
Well, I don't cocking know.
Well, get it working.
All right. Well, say something into the arsing mic, then.
We appear to be having some problems with the sound at
present.
But we will bring you the show as soon as we can.
There we go.
He's chewing up the tape.
Oh, tits on wheels. Hang on.
Just get some.
Ow, ow, ow.
Are you all right?
No.
Well, what do we do?
Hang on. That should
what?
Do it.
There it was.
You come if you want,
but I'm going back to Hartlepool.
Welcome to Concrete Cow, a sketch show made from words and actors.
The captives are prepared, your priestliness.
Good. O God of the sun, accept from us these thousand hearts of virgins as a sign of our worship. In return, all we ask is for the presence of the sun shining for another day. May we have the first sacrifice.
Get off me.
What'd you do that for?
You pushed me.
I didn't mean to. I was just guiding you towards the altar.
Yeah, well, you shouldn't push people around.
All right, I'm sorry.
Look, can we just get on with this? We haven't got all day.
Well, we might not have any day at all if we don't get her onto the altar.
What did you just say?
Well, the sun will not rise if we don't sacrifice 1,000 virgins within the hour.
Right, and do you have any evidence for this?
What do you mean?
Well, what makes you so sure the sun's appearance has any causal link with the sacrifice of virgins?
Well, every day we do the sacrifice, every day the sun comes up.
And that's the best logic you can come up with, is it? You think that before someone hit on this great idea, there was just darkness. They sacrificed a virgin for a laugh or something, and suddenly they were bathed in this mysterious light that went away again after about 12 hours.
I don't know.
Doesn't it seem inherently more reasonable that the sun has a predetermined course through the sky?
You're very well informed for a virgin.
Well, I haven't got anything else to do, have I?
So, what exactly are you proposing?
I'm just proposing trying this ceremony without the slaughter of 1,000 virgins.
Right. What do you think?
Can't hurt to try.
Won't hurt me, anyway.
All right, we'll give it an hour. And if it all goes wrong, we'll do 2,000 to make up for it.
Fine.
You'll be gutted if you're wrong. By me, personally.
Took you all that time to think that up, didn't it?
Yes.
Kylie and Daryl are two schoolchildren who discover a gateway to the enchanted world of Narnia through a wardrobe they find near a burnt-out car in Peckham.
Son of Adam, what are you doing here? It's not safe.
All right, keep your horns on.
But where's your sister?
She's been chilling with the White Witch, man.
Oh, but don't you know that the White Witch is wicked?
You're telling me, man. She's, like, well wicked. If she, like, you know, like, sees someone who's dissing her, like, bam, she just turns them into stone, man.
Hey, Daryl.
What?
Like, I seen the White Witch here and she's, like, well vexed. Like, she was saying that her sledge is, like, on wicks, man.
Oh, man, that is like them beavers, like, stitching me up, man.
Yeah, well, she says if you don't put them back, yeah, you're not going to score any more Turkish delight.
Oh, no way! She can't cut me off, man. That is well out of order.
Yeah, well, she's, like, totally doing it.
Children, listen, you mustn't be servants of the White Witch. You must put your hope in Aslan to rescue Narnia from the evil.
Whoa there, Billy Goat. Aslan's had it.
What? I'm sorry?
Yeah, like, Aslan is, like, deader than Run DMC.
Dead? Dead, but how?
Well, the White Witch, like, she got all her mates, like the hags and the wraiths and stuff, and it was wicked.
Yeah, it was like being in an episode of Buffy.
You know, and we, like, you know, like, we got him and, like, we stuck him.
But Aslan will surely rise from the dead.
Yeah, he did. And we stuck him again.
Man, you should check out that rug on the White Witch's palace.
You killed Aslan, you vile, hateful...
Oi, can it, Goatface, or your Betty will be on my floor.
And all is lost.
Anyway, Daryl, like, we've got to go.
Not without my Turkish delight.
Yeah, I'll find some much better stuff next door in Wonderland. There's this bloke here dealing at some serious stuff in his madhouse tea party.
Oh, wicked! Like, come on, Thomas, let's go munch some rabbit.
Oh, dear.
Look, the sun. It's coming.
You see? You wouldn't listen, but I hope you feel slightly ashamed.
Wait! Something strange is happening.
The sun is darkening.
No!
A total eclipse. What are the odds?
Excuse me.
Sir?
Could I just ask you a few questions about the menu?
Of course, sir.
With regard to happy hour, if I order the drink during happy hour to go with the meal, but then ordered the meal after the happy hour had elapsed, and then paid at the end rather than at the time, would the drink still qualify as a happy hour drink?
Well, sir, if you order the drink...
And when I order, do I have to be happy? Even if I'm not happy? Not that I'm not happy. Well, not that I'm not unhappy either. I didn't say that. You said that. I'm fine.
No, sir. Happy hour is not meant to...
The children's menu. If a person not under the age of 10, for example myself, was to order the animal-shaped fritters, would they be given a children's portion at an adult's price, or an adult's portion at a children's price, or at an adult's price?
Well, sir, that really depends on...
And with the pre-theatre menu, do I have to produce theatre tickets in order to qualify for that menu? Because what if I had ordered them by credit card and I'm picking them up at the door?
Sir, the term pre-theatre menu is not exactly...
Or if I hadn't actually ordered them but knew that there would be some left because the show wasn't selling very well, had bad reviews or whatever. I mean, I'm not slagging off a play I haven't seen. But if after eating from the pre-theatre menu in good faith and leaving the restaurant didn't actually make it to the show because I'd been called away to visit a friend who might have ended up in casualty and you can't stop me from going to see him, surely. I mean, you know, that's unreasonable to expect me to sit in a theatre while a friend's practically dying on a table. Would you really follow me to the theatre to make sure that I went through with seeing the show? That would be sick. I'm not sick. You said that. I didn't. I'm fine.
Dining alone again, sir?
Yes, yes, I am.
The usual?
Yes, please. It's a pity, really. I quite liked her.
Yeah. I think she was a bit arsey, to be honest.
Well, maybe a bit, but, you know, I like a bit of spirit.
Yeah. Oh, well, better get this show on the road.
Yep.
Are the sacrifices prepared?
Yeah, but they're not happy. We got their hopes up, you see.
Well, there's not been any sun for at least 7.5 minutes, so I think it's safe to say...
Oh, hang on a minute.
What?
You are never gonna believe this. Look, the sun's getting bigger.
Ah. Oh, it is as well. Right, I have to say, I feel a bit foolish.
No. Don't feel silly. It's not your fault.
Really?
No, you're just performing the task you were given. Anyway, it is an ancient ritual.
Well, it's not that ancient.
Isn't it?
No.
Oh, how old is it, then?
A few years.
Really?
Yeah. Guys, you can probably stop that now.
Yeah?
Yeah. Yep, that's better. What can I say? I feel so embarrassed.
Oh, don't. No.
And not a little ashamed.
No, look, it's an easy mistake to make.
All those hours of torture and ripping out still beating hearts wasted. I'm going to have to sit down.
Shall I tell this lot they can go?
Yeah.
Okay, next item on the agenda, planning permission. Now, with regard to the first application, we're very pleased to welcome Darth, Vader?
It's Darth Marcon.
Oh, right.
Darth Vader couldn't get away. Apparently his account's all over the place and the meeting's dragging on and on.
Oh, right. Well, Darth Marcon, welcome.
Hi.
And thank you very much for the plans of the building you propose.
Mm-hmm.
For those who haven't read the brief, could you outline what sort of structure you have in mind?
You mean the Death Star?
Yes.
Well, broadly speaking, the Death Star is a large round spaceship, if you like, which should provide a large number of employment opportunities for the population of neighbouring planets. And if this sounds a bit worrying, let me allay your fears. To avoid congestion, there will be a dock and ride scheme.
Right. Now, as for the purpose of the building, you would normally put commercial or residential under question 7 on the form, but on yours it just says purpose death. Could you expand on that, please?
Well, actually, if you look closely, it says more than that.
Oh, does it?
Yeah, it says death, and then the emperor's added... Ha, 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 ha.
Oh, right, I haven't spotted that.
Yeah, well, you see, the emperor has great attention to detail.
Well, that's probably why he's emperor.
That's the unspeakable evil.
Yes, thank you, Barbara. Now, as to the use of the building...
Oh, yes, well, as the name would suggest, the Death Star is mainly a facility for the destruction of entire planets, hence the word death seemed the most appropriate description for that question. Oh. But I would just like to emphasise that a spacecraft of this size will incorporate commercial, residential and leisure facilities.
Oh, Barbara, you have a question?
Yes, now, as a representative of the Alderaan Residents Association, and I have to say that I'm concerned about the overall antisocial nature of the building you propose.
Right.
And my concern is that if you do destroy Alderaan entirely, this will obviously have a knock-on effect, you know, on local traders, housing, rare species, and the fabric of space.
As it pertains to the gravitational pull on other planets, of course, yeah. But we shall be planting a forest on planet Banderol and making a large donation to the Heritage Planet in the Milwan system.
That sounds great. Now, unless anyone else has got any objections, I suspect we take this on a general aye. Those in favour of the Death Star say aye.
Aye.
Great.
Motion carried. Now, next application. Proposed cloaking device for the rebel base on Yavin. Darth Markon, do you want to come in on this one?
Would you mind? Right, come in. It's Mr. Punch, isn't it? And you are Mr. Punch's legal representative?
Yes, I've been asked to represent Mr. Punch at this hearing.
Right. So you've served 8 years of your sentence. This is your first parole board hearing. Dr. Baxter here is the attending psychiatrist.
Hello.
My client would like me to read a written statement to the board.
Proceed.
My client recognises that he is a serial wife beater and child abuser. Over a period of years, he hit his wife with a clacky bit of wood. He repeatedly strangled his baby with a string of sausages. He also, on numerous occasions, inflicted grievous bodily harm on a crocodile. But he has learned the consequences of his actions and feels able to rejoin society.
I just need to ask Mr. Punch a few questions for the psychiatric evaluation.
He'd prefer to rely on his written statement.
Mr. Punch, how do you feel about your estranged wife, Judy?
Judy? It's the Judy! Where's the baby?
Don't do the voice. Don't. We've discussed this.
I'm afraid he will need to demonstrate to the board that he has reformed.
My client wants to make it clear that he has reformed. He won't do that voice ever again. He can be a valuable member of society. He could work on the seaside. Not in a booth, definitely not in a stripy booth. Selling chips. He could sell chips or sticks of rock. Not so much hitting babies.
Your statement is noted, but Dr. Baxter must complete her assessment now.
What I'm going to say now is some trigger words, and you just listen. Let's see how they make you feel, okay? Sausages. Baby. Crocodile. Judy.
No, this is hopeless. Take him away.
Really thought we were making progress.
Okay, so here's your workstation.
Wow, it's very high tech.
Indeed, yes. And your login is temp 01.
Fine. And, what exactly do you do here?
Here at NASA?
Yeah.
Well, we coordinate the space program for the United States of America.
Oh.
What?
Nothing. It's just my agency promising media.
Okay, well, your resume states you're proficient in a number of communication systems here.
Yes, telephone, switchboard, email.
And the JC5 solar engagement system?
Sorry?
The JC-5 solar engagement system. It's like the JC-4, but with a few whistles and bells.
Right, is that basically Windows?
Yeah, that's very good.
Oh, yeah, sorry. It's the other system. I was confusing it with Word.
You don't sound very happy with the software, if you don't think it's the right...
Oh, no. I can. It's fine. I can do it.
You sure?
I can do it. Yeah, I'll be fine, honestly.
Okay, right. It's just that we've got two men in a small metal spacecraft who'll need to re-enter the atmosphere at exactly 7.8 degrees, or they'll be burned alive or bounced around into oblivion, okay?
Yeah. Seriously.
Okay. As long as you're sure. I mean, it's not rocket science. Well, it is rocket science. That's precisely what it is. Right. Prepare to re-enter in T-minus 5 minutes.
Excuse me? Have I got time to call Nikki at Office Angels?
Gotham City. Chaos reigns in the mayor's office as the city is in terrible peril. There is only one thing for it.
Get me the bat phone.
Thank you for calling Batman and Robin. We're sorry, but all our operators are busy at the moment. But your call is important to us, and we will be with you as soon as possible.
Come on!
Thank you for holding. If a super criminal genius has taken over the city, press 1. If you're tied to a slowly moving conveyor belt towards a circular saw, press 2. If you want to send a fax, press 3.
1.
Thank you. Please hold.
Good afternoon, the Batcave. How can I help you?
Thank God, Batman, the city is in danger.
Oh, sorry, sir. Batman is in a meeting. Can I help?
Is that Robin?
No, sir. I'm afraid Mr. Robin is attending an Autograph Hunter sci-fi convention in Leicester.
But the city needs their help.
Yeah, we do have some other superheroes available, sir. Let me see. Oh, I think Gibbon Man is free.
Gibbon Man?
Yes, sir. Bitten by a radioactive monkey when he was 12.
Oh, yes, I remember him. I'm not using him again. Last time when the Joker held the city to ransom, he just turned up, swung on a tire, and threw cack at him. How about Spider-Man?
Oh, offset. I'll tell you who's available. We've got Dog Man, Pig Man, Slug Man, and Otter Man.
Otter Man? Bitten by a radioactive otter?
Nope, fell off a radioactive armless sofa.
Anyone else?
We're coming up to the end now. There's Waterboat Man, capable of lying on the surface of a pond without breaking the meniscus.
No.
Oh, Slug Man, awesome. Oh, unless he comes into contact with salt.
No.
Piano Man.
Doesn't sound very impressive. What does he do?
Oh, well, he'll sing you a song, little Piano Man. He'll sing you a song tonight. If you're in the mood for a melody, he'll get you feeling all right.
Oh, furf.
Okay, preparing for re-entry back to Earth.
Standing by.
Engaging JC-5 generators to 75.
Roger.
Houston, we have a problem with JC-5 generator. If we don't get it fixed soon, we're going to shrivel up like an old man in a heat wave.
This is Houston. We read you. I'm going to hand you over to our JC-5 operator. JC-5, do you copy?
Hiya, this is Debbie's voicemail. If that's you, Susie, I can go for lunch at 1. Let's take a long one. It's so stressy here. I hope you're well. Oh, anyone else? Leave a message after the beep.
Houston, we're losing pressure here. We need to get this fixed.
Let me just try that line again.
It's okay. I'm here. Sorry, I was just screening my calls in case my mum phones to have another go at me about Darren.
Okay, we have a 295 emergency situation here with the JC-5 system. The generator will not engage beyond 75. Could you...
Sorry, I've got another call. Can I just... Hello? Hello? Did that work? Oh, sorry, it's still you, isn't it? Let me just...
Hello, Houston. Things are getting pretty thin up here without this generator.
Hello, Debbie here.
Hey there.
Sorry, lost you on the system. What's the problem?
The JC-5 generator's not playing ball. Please advise.
Right, yes. Let me just get the manual.
Houston, situation critical.
Houston, I just blacked out there for a second.
Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again?
Mrs. Houston, do not, I repeat, do not.
Hello? Shall I get the teas?
Houston, the JC5 generator is go. All systems normal.
Copy.
Have a nice day.
Right, everyone, cross-country starts in 5 minutes. Where's Brown? Brown? Brown, why aren't you changed?
Can't do it, sir.
Can't do what, Brown?
Can't do cross-country, sir.
And why not?
I've got a note, sir.
Oh, of course you have, Brown. Dear Mr. Bastard, please do not let Brown do cross-country since he has a club foot. Yours sincerely, Brown's mum. Well, let's have a look at it, then.
Oh, no, sir, I'm afraid you can't. It's very contagious.
You can't have a contagious club foot, Brown.
Well, I do, sir. It's very rare.
Brown, why do we always have to go through this every week? Last week it was cholera. The week before it was Gulf War syndrome. Well, you'll have to play some chess.
I'm afraid I can't.
You must know the rules of chess.
Oh, I do, sir, but I'm colourblind.
Brown, they're black and white.
Oh, I know, sir, but they all look the same to me. It's very rare.
How about tennis?
No, sir, I'm allergic to cats.
Cats?
Yes, sir, the strings are made of cat gut.
Brown, they haven't done that for years.
My mum says that's just government propaganda. She says they made a tennis racket out of our cat, but Davidson said his dad ran him over.
Right, in that case, get your swimming stuff.
I can't, sir, I've got a note.
Dear Mr. Bastard, under no circumstances should you allow Brown to swim, since he is highly soluble. P.S. He also has verrucas. Soluble, Brown?
Yes, sir. It's very rare.
But what about football?
No, sir. I'm allergic.
To what? Spears? Corner flags?
The 4-4-2 formation.
Right, if we could just have a bit of quiet, then we'll start the meeting. Right, thank you. Now, I'm afraid I have rather bad news today. Since the death of Tsar Alexander III, sales of our Fabergé eggs have fallen dramatically. Unless we can come up with a way of getting people interested in our extremely expensive golden diamond encrusted eggs, then I fear that we might have designed our last one. Yes, Nick?
Thank you. Well, I don't mean to be too forward, Mr. Fabergé, but it is 1895, and with the 20th century just round the corner, I think it's high time that we updated our product.
Oh, what did you have in mind, Nicholas?
Well, how about inside the eggs, instead of a 24-carat gold exact replica of the Tsar's official state carriage, we have, wait for it, cream.
Maybe I'm being thick, right, but what do you do with the cream when you open the egg?
Well, you see, Maria, that's the clever bit, you see. You eat it, right? Think of all the fun you could have. You could lick it out bit by bit, or you could empty it all out in one go. The possibilities are quite frankly endless.
I'm not sure it really says Fabergé, I'm afraid.
Oh, it's a shame, because I had quite a good advertising slogan for that one. Fabergé cream eggs. How'd you pay for yours? It was clever.
Yeah. Anyone got any other ideas?
You'll like this. It's inside the egg. We have a surprise.
Oh, a gold figurine?
Klaus, a toy.
Oh, yeah, that's a good idea.
A Fabergé surprise. Tell you what, Maria, get that down to a side of A4 and get back to me in a week. So, Jenkins, what you're telling me is that the neighbours had heard rows coming from the couple in the flat for months on end, including threats of violence and murder.
That's right, Sarge.
And now he's dead, she's gone to the neighbours covered in his blood, holding the murder weapon and confessed to killing him in a fit of rage.
Yes.
And the weirdo with the telescope across the street says he saw the whole thing happen.
I've taken his statement, it checks out.
And their 8-year-old son caught the entire episode on videotape.
Yes.
Am I the only one here who thinks this is all just a little bit convenient?
Yeah.
Oh, well, as long as it's just me, that's fine.
The philosopher Wittgenstein is a major figure in history. He is interesting for two reasons. Firstly, because he realized the limitations of language as mere representations of reality inherently inhibit our ability to answer key philosophical questions. And second, because he went to school with Hitler.
on, Ludwig, let's play a game.
What do you mean by the word game, Adolf? It's such an all-embracing term.
Ludwig, you know what I mean.
Anyway, I don't like playing games with you, Adolf. You're so competitive.
Look, I'm sorry. I just get carried away.
I mean, look at Friedrich.
I know.
It was meant to be a friendly game of cops and robbers. You don't kneecap someone for changing sides.
He betrayed the ideals of my team.
Your ideals were just a linguistic representation of stereotypical fascism.
Shut up.
Just like that extreme response to challenge your ideals.
Look, what about a nice friendly game of Monopoly?
Monopoly?
You'll get to occupy London.
Well, it's not exactly a lifelong ambition. Well,
maybe not for you. I must go first.
Right. Roll the dice.
Right. So, I guess Old Kent Road, Whitechapel is the station. Oh, good for reinforcements. Islington.
Adolf, what are you doing?
I'm occupying these properties as I pass through.
No. You get to buy the properties if you land on them.
I need to land on them. I need stormtroopers, panzer divisions. No, that is not in the rules.
No.
Because I definitely remember something like that.
No. Look, I don't think this is such a good idea. Let's play something else.
Risk?
No. Actually, I'll tell you what. I've got a new game here the other day.
What is it called?
Escape from Colditz. It's based around a prisoner of war camp in Colditz.
Is there one in Colditz?
Not that I know of.
Well, it's early days. So, we have ourselves another murder.
That's right, Sergeant.
And what makes you oh so convinced that this is another mob shooting?
Well, it's the fifth one of its nature.
Is it?
In the space of 12 hours.
Right.
The bloke from Ballistics said they're all killed by exactly the same type of bullet, which can only come from one type of gun manufactured in one place.
Really?
And he said that this was a PLK-7 handgun limited edition and only five were ever made.
Any other so-called evidence?
The five men were brothers.
Whatever.
With a history of mob violence.
Yeah.
And last week you went on Crime Watch asking for evidence on this group who you imaginatively called the Gangland Mob. Basically, Sarge, we think these crimes may be linked.
Do you really? Well, wouldn't that make a nice little theory?
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, it's not bad.
That was Concrete Cow. It starred Robert Webb, Sally Hawkins, Chris Pavlo, Olivia Colman and Stephen Kinman. It was written by James Terry, Robin Innes, Catherine Shepherd, Adam Bromley, John Holmes, Sally Hawkins, Ashley Blaker, Stuart Barker and Tim Key. The script editors were Steve Punt and James Terry. The producer was Adam Bromley.